Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Welcome once again to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and I'm just happy as I can be to have this blessed privilege to be able to address you on this radio station every Sunday morning or over the internet if you listen to us by that medium. I welcome you to this broadcast and hope that you'll make it a happy habit to listen to us. I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, the good and faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we beg of you, come and let us meet you. Let us extend unto you Christian hospitality. We want to worship Jesus with you. We also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening in Starkville, Mississippi, on the grounds and in the facilities of New Covenant Church, located at 200 West Garrett Road in Starkville. We also invite you to visit our sister church located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi, and that is Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church. They also meet every Sunday morning at 10:30, and they would absolutely, that small group would just treat you just with so much love and tenderness, and we hope that you'll go and visit with them as well. We have messages for you regarding wisdom personified today, and we hope and pray that you'll stay tuned with us, and we also hope that you will contact us. Let us know that you're listening. Go to gospel-of-grace.com and send us an email. We would surely love to hear from you. So stay with us, and right after this, we'll be back with today's installment of Wisdom Personified.
We are blessed in the law of the Lord, undefiled in our walk on His way. We are blessed to keep Thy testaments, Lord, with our whole heart we seek Him each day. We are blessed in the law of the Lord, all Thy precepts commanded to keep, the direction, Lord, laid out in Thy word, is a map of the path for our feet. We are blessed in the law of the Lord, free from sin.
Good morning, my listening friends. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and what a great honor and privilege it is to address you in West Alabama, North Mississippi again, here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. Today, I'd like to begin a message, and it'll probably take me more than one installment, but I would like to begin a message titled Wisdom Personified. Wisdom Personified. You know, I love a good investigation. I have an inquisitive mind. I love a good investigation. And that's one reason I love the Bible so very much, because it's a constant investigation into the Scriptures to not only see more of the truth about myself, which is pretty ugly to see, but thanks be unto God, I'm also blessed to see more of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has covered my sins and is my daysman, my representative, my high priest, my Savior. And Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. So we need to be searching the Scriptures. And the Scriptures, when Jesus spoke those words, was the Old Testament Bible. The Old Testament that we have. Many people neglect to study the Old Testament. You are missing out on so much of the power of Bible study. You will be as confused as a football bat, my friends. You listen to me. You will be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo if you are not able to make hide nor hair of all of the references to atonement and redemption, sanctification, priesthood, all of these things that are referred to in the New Testament. You will lose the power of the application of the types and shadows if you're not studying the Old Testament. So today we want to go on a search and see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And we're going, as we said, wisdom personified. You may be able to tell if you're a Bible student that we're going to Proverbs chapter 8. On our Wednesday night services in Starkville, we meet in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. every Wednesday at on the grounds of New Covenant Church at 200 West Garrett Road in Starkville, Mississippi. And during my time in our studies there, I've been preaching through the book of Proverbs. And we're now at Proverbs chapter 8. And I would posit for you today at the beginning of this message that we are going to see who wisdom personified is. And it is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What do I mean by wisdom personified? Well, you know, somebody may say, well, I'm wise. I got a college degree. Well, there's a big difference between worldly, carnal wisdom and spiritual wisdom. There was a wisdom that revealed to Simon Bar-Jonah, to Simon Peter, that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. This spiritual wisdom is spoken of over in James chapter 3, he said, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, the wisdom, so-called wisdom that would lead you to strife, to glorying in yourself, lying. He said, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above. Hello, that's what's under consideration today. Spiritual wisdom. Wisdom that has come down from heaven, the throne room of God the Father. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'll tell you, that's a beautiful description of what we ought to be, because that's a beautiful description right there of Jesus Christ, wisdom personified. And I think as we study Proverbs chapter 8, hopefully you will be able to see, jumping forth off of the page of your Bibles, Jesus Christ, who is all wise. Let's begin. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now, the literary device of the feminine here, her voice, basically, it's using a literary device of personification of a concept. Okay, so this concept is being spoken of as a person. Now, here it's referred to in the feminine. Again, that's a literary device. But you're going to see the ultimate personification of wisdom was a he, a man. The man, Christ Jesus, is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. You know, it's conspicuous to me that this personification of wisdom being described here, we see the very outset of it being at the gates of the city. The gates of the city. Now, the gates of the city, to us today, it means very little other than there may be a welcome sign there. But the gates of the city in the ancient times in which these scriptures were written was a place where the elders and the wise and the sage would gather together and hear conflicts. They would hear and dispense wisdom. And also, it's very conspicuous that this would be where the declaration of the kinsman redeemer would take place. You see this in the book of Ruth, where Boaz went to the gates of the city, gathered together the elders, sat with them, and applied himself, as it were, to be the kinsman redeemer of both Ruth and Naomi. You see, my friends, we see there the concept of the kinsman redeemer. And when you see the concept of the kinsman redeemer claiming his bride, who do you see? I see Jesus Christ all over it. So that's just a little side note. O ye simple, verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. So what's being described there? A mouth that speaks nothing but truth. Wickedness is an abomination to this personified wisdom. All the words of wisdom's mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. In other words, sin-free, fault-free, always perfect. Who is our rock described in Deuteronomy 32:4 and that song of Moses? Oh, it refers to Jesus Christ. He is a rock. All of his ways are perfect. All of his paths are judgment. I'm misquoting that just a little bit, but that's describing Jesus Christ. Now, notice the words of Jesus in John 7:18. Jesus here saying, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Okay, that's the wisdom of the world, right? Evil, sensual, devilish. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same, who is that? I, the one who is speaking, Jesus Christ, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus of his own declaration declared that he is totally righteous, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Truly, it was said of him that he doeth always those things that please the Father. Also, he declared that Satan had no place in him, no part in him. So he was a man without sin. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And my friends, he came out, as it were, smelling like a rose. He passed every test that was thrown, every temptation that was thrown at him by Satan and the evil beasts. Notice also the words in John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the word, who's the word? Jesus Christ, wisdom personified. And the word, and also it's conspicuous that that word is from the Greek logos, which means logic. It's the root word of our concept of logic, of learning, of wisdom. Jesus is personified wisdom. He is the word, the eternal word of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Perfect. Perfect. If you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. And then he goes on in verse 17, says, for the law was given by Moses, but notice this, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truly, my friends, Jesus is the one described as being wisdom personified in at least the first 8 verses. And I think you'll agree with me. This continues on. Now let's read verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 8. They are all plain to him. What are they? They are the wisdom, the words, the instructions, the knowledge of wisdom. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find. And that term find means to possess knowledge. Well, is this speaking of Jesus Christ, who is able to reveal himself, reveal his word, and without his revelation, there's no understanding of him, of the Father, of the Holy Spirit, and of spiritual things? Well, let's look at the scriptures, the descriptions of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, John wrote, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the true God and eternal life. Sounds to me like we need the revelation, the revealing of the knowledge of Jesus, to make understanding that is spiritual plain. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, who is able to reveal the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, reveal all the realm of spirituality and the glories of heaven to come and the truth of the word of God? Well, notice what Jesus declared in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And certainly those all things that have already been delivered to him are his elect family. Okay, so carrying on. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. That means accept the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Absolutely indispensable that Jesus, personified wisdom himself, reveals to us spiritual truth. There's no getting around it in the scripture. You can't bridge from natural wisdom to spiritual wisdom on your own. It takes being translated by the power of God out of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Let's carry on. Let's look at the descriptions in verses 10 and 11 of Proverbs chapter 8. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Notice the plain declaration there. No apologetic, no woulda, coulda, shouldas, no hemming, no hawing. It's saying that to have spiritual wisdom is so much more valuable than all the material goods you could ever add to a list or ever imagine in your mind you want to have. Spiritual wisdom can't even be compared to something as carnal and destructive as natural wealth and the mammon of this world. Not even worthy to be compared to spiritual wisdom. So if you have spiritual wisdom, my friends, you should recognize that you are above all men wealthy in the things of God. Now, if you go listening to Creflo Dollar, and you go listening to Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and all of those charlatans, they're going to try to tell you that you need this material wealth and that you're going to gain this material wealth. God's Word continually refutes that, Old and New Testament. Friends, believe what the Word of God says and leave those TV shiny-haired, bigger-than-their-britches preachers alone, please. Notice what it says of how this valuable wisdom personified in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us. That's something abundant. That's abundant riches. What are the abundant riches being spoken of here? Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. I'll tell you, all the gold Ophir or Fort Knox is not worthy to be compared to just a glimpse of spiritual wisdom. Ephesians 3 and 8. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those spiritual things he preached, when they were spiritually understood by those under the sound of his voice, they were unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches. Colossians 2:2-3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, notice this, all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, when I was a kid, I had a repetitive nightmare. My dad took me to the Superdome one time to see the Saints play. And I had a repetitive nightmare after that I was alone in the Superdome, and the Superdome was filled with pennies. And I was atop that pile of pennies, the entire Superdome filled up. I was all the way up toward the rafters, and I was there alone, and I knew that I could not leave until I had counted all of those pennies. I had to search out the entirety of the value of those riches before I could get out of there. And I would wake up screaming. I remember that clearly to this day. Friends, here's some unsearchable riches that overwhelm me, but in a pleasant and a joyful way. It doesn't make me want to wake up screaming in terror. It makes me want to shout with joy on the top of the rooftops that Jesus is my Savior, and he saved me, and he revealed that unto me. I'm telling you, spiritual riches. Amen. Back up, Joel Osteen. Now, let's look at something else from this description of wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Now, that phrase in verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Wisdom is spiritual wisdom from above, the ability to know spiritual things. And prudence is the wisdom to know how to apply those spiritual things. In other words, if you've been given spiritual wisdom, it's not using prudence to try to beat people over the head with scriptures or threaten them with hell acting like you're so much better than they are. That is not wisdom dwelling with prudence. Remember, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I love the apple of gold, but you better not take it out of the picture of silver or the framework where it belongs. And it belongs with prudence, love, compassion, and proper application. Now, notice in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. This is descriptive of Jesus Christ. Well, you may say, well, Jesus Christ is love. Yes, he is. But he is love because he hates evil. Okay, you can't love evil and love love. You just can't be. He loves love. He is love personified because he is the antithesis. He is the complete opposite of sin and evil and iniquity. Notice Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but unto the Son, oh, this wisdom personified, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let us simultaneously love righteousness and hate iniquity. My sinner friends listening today, and if you do that, you have that wisdom from above. You have that wisdom personified dwelling in your heart, and you are a saved person because you love and trust in Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners. Now let's look at another description of wisdom personified from verse 14 of Proverbs 8. Verse 14 reads, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. One thing on the very surface of this, he likens understanding to having strength. We hear that on commercials. Wisdom is power. Amen. Understanding gives strength. Knowing things cognitively doesn't just make your brain better, it makes your body better. It takes away aches and pains. It takes your focus off of the maladies, and it gives you real, understandable, feelable, palpable strength. Now, let's look at the deeper message. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. What does counsel mean? It means the plans, the purpose, the will of God, the counsel of God. Counsel is mine. Well, who is our great counselor? Isaiah 9:6, speaking of Jesus, wisdom personified again. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 regarding the purpose of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Remember, purpose is synonymous with counsel in this verse. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The manifold wisdom of God, and I'm going to insert instead of purpose, we're going to insert counsel, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal counsel, which he counseled in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus is wisdom personified, described in Proverbs chapter 8. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 of Proverbs chapter 8. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all of the judges of the earth. Now, somebody may say, you mean Jesus is involved in politics? No, my friends, politics. I'm telling you, Jesus is involved in politics. Politics ought to be involved in the righteous motives of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we need a theocracy, but we do need God-fearing, Bible-honoring leaders in this country. God help us. We've got a right mess coming up in this November election. I'll tell you, the way I look at it, it's a poor choice either way. What I'm going to wind up doing is probably just voting against one by voting for the other. Don't really want to vote for either one of them, because I do not sense that Jesus is of prime importance to either candidate that it looks like we will have to vote for in November. And God help us. But my friends, don't you ever doubt that Jesus is not intimately involved in the providential dealings, not only of your life individually, your family, your church, but also in every nation upon the face of this earth. Rulers only rule because they're allowed to by the decree of Almighty God. Now, I'm not saying that what they do because God has absolutely made them do it. No, but God certainly suffers it to unfold. He could change it anytime he wants to. He can intervene in it anytime he wants to. He can change the narrative by changing the atmosphere and the environment immediately if he so chooses. He's done that in Babylon. He did that in Assyria. He did that in Egypt. He did that in Israel. And my friends, there have been times when he's done that in a special way in the United States of America, I'm convinced. But notice, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Notice the words in Hebrews 1. At the beginning of Hebrews, he said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and notice this, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, even all of the principalities and powers of this world are upheld. They are under the divine dominion of King Jesus. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Notice where Christ is seated. Notice who Christ is superior to, what Christ superintends. Far above, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, that's a powerful Savior, friend. That is a powerful Lord. We hope to be able to come back with you in our next episode and finish up these thoughts on wisdom personified from Proverbs chapter 8. Until that time, we implore you, study these things, study your Bible, pray unto your Lord. Go find you a good, sound Bible teaching church. I recommend a Primitive Baptist church. And go and join yourself unto it and follow the Lord in his kingdom in a learning way. And until we're able to address you on these wonderful subjects again, may the Lord richly bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.